Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Percolate on a particular mix of odd and inspiring news headlines in Wendy's Coffee House. Newsmakers with a penchant for the unknown, unexplained, and unusual share their experiences with UFOs, ghost encounters, near-death experiences, and more for your own unique blend of Wendy's Coffee House Curious. And now, here's Wendy.
Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. We're going to get into all sorts of stuff, but I want to remind you, instead of doing stuff in the show, I'm going to start putting little blurbs on the Wendy's Coffee House blog so you can follow along. Because there's so much to talk about, I can't squeeze it in into the interview format, so I've just decided I'm going to do the headlines and the drive-by headlines. Random stuff on the blog, because I find so much stuff to talk about. And like right now, the ice melt across the world, across the planet, the icebergs are, some of them are uncovering like 40,000 years ago, this stuff was the last time this stuff saw the light of day. And so there's incredible, incredible land being revealed in this Arctic melt. And there are some other things that are going on, just in the terms of the headlines, the fun stuff, some mountain collapsed in Russia and Putin sent in the military because they say it was a UFO-caused mountain collapse. See, stuff like that's just fascinating. Somebody else has a really cool picture of a UFO, and this is one of these interdimensional, multidimensional. It flashes all these different colors, and she's been getting them for like a week or so in her backyard. The problem with some of this is you can't always give it any kind of scientific... is one person seeing it. That doesn't mean it isn't happening. And it doesn't mean if somebody else can't duplicate it or replicate it, that it is fiction. It just says, okay, things are going on and we need to pay attention. So open your mind, free your mind for the rest of the hour. And we're going to talk about spirit rescue and dowsing. And there's another book called The Care and Treatment of Wild Energies with my guest, Tick Goodrow. Oh, also, since I'm reading all of this stuff, I want to put a plug for The Power. Check it out. Written by Naomi Alderman. Margaret Atwood says it's electrifying. She's the one who does The Handmaid's Tale. I've tried not to watch that because it's just too serious. All right. But I'm reading that one right now, and I can see why they've got all these lists of people saying it's incredible and it's a sci-fi thing that is worth, because of the energy that it talks about in there. It's just worth a read. Okay, so with Tick Goodrow, I wanted to talk about all sorts of things that we can do with dowsing that people really, I think, are just unaware of. So, Tick, I appreciate you. We talked once before about the book before, but there's more stuff happening, and I really appreciate your information.
Well, thank you, Wendy, and it's good to be back with you.
Now, before we covered the book, A Dowser's Ghostly Encounters, with you and your cohort, David Darrow, you talk in the book about different experiences and how to deal with cleaning a house or just all across the board. There's a lot of stuff in there. We're going to get into The Care and Treatment of Wild Energies. Now, that one is a little bit more intense. It's almost, this is more like a textbook in that way. Is that a good call?
Yeah, it's. I try to be a little bit more on the scientific, but I also have where the scientific meets the spiritual, that sort of thing. So it's not purely scientific, but also it's not there are a lot of things that I've said can be backed with scientific theory, and it's a pretty good book. Yeah.
Okay.
Of course it is.
Well, I tell you what, I got a fantastic review saying, if you want to do this, then this is the source, and it's really rare to see. When I was looking for information and picked up Spirit Rescue to start out with, I haven't seen any other books that deal with dowsing in this way. And that's what's so fantastic, I think, about it, is that you offer little snippets of insight into the things that you've experienced, the things that you have investigated, explored, and worked on. And so just let's start out with dowsing. This is, some people would call it divination. Some people call it a way of, well, Uri Geller supposedly uses it to find oil wells. That's, I would like one of those. Maybe not in my backyard, but nearby. How do you use dowsing?
Yeah, good, good. And by the way, thanks for the compliment of my book. Dowsing is an indicator, it's a mechanism that indicates your connection with something that's greater than you. For instance, you can use dowsing for water. That's probably the biggest thing that everybody talks about. And what it is the water, in the case of water or oil, even with Uri Geller, there's a certain amount of energy that comes up from that water or from that oil that is detected by the body, and the body then makes a movement, makes a motion.
Mm-hmm.
And if you happen to have a pendulum that you started, or an X, Y rod or L rod or something like that that's ready to move, then you twitch. Your body twitches as you cross over that energy. Now, it's like a static electric shock, but you don't really feel it as such. Some people do. But, for instance, I can feel some energies in the ground and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't even really need a rod, but I use it anyway because it gives me a good indication what I'm looking at. So your body twitches. And when the body twitches, then the instrument gives you an indication of the presence of something. Okay, that's one way of dowsing. That's the physical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The non-physical stuff deals with your body connecting with all that there is. And, you can talk about what the all that is. Some people, would use religious connotations, their various religious things. I sometimes call them with irreverence, my local God representatives.
Mm-hmm.
But I use the my spirit system, my dowsing system, that gives me information. You could call it my angels or something like that.
Yeah.
I just call it my dowsing system. And now what they do is they can tweak you also. They can make you move your muscles and get the instrument to show an indication of a yes or no.
Okay, so basically once you learn your own system, then you can fine-tune
yes.
it. How?
Yeah, that really means, that's really the most important thing is learning your own system, because everybody's system works a little bit different. Everybody reacts a little bit differently, and you have to know what works for you and then stick to it.
Now, this is something that people can learn, and it is being taught, and the American Society of Dowsers is a good organization to, at least become familiar with if you're curious and you're listening and saying, well, I have no one. There's only one book? No, there's more. There's more. And that's the thing, having a support system, I think, is you learn from each other. That the book that you did with David, you guys are both working together in different ways to bring some kind of a piece of information that people can use and access and say, well, how do we fix this? And that's what I like about it. You both bring more to the equation by with collaboration and sharing your stories.
Yes, thank you. And if I could put a plug in for ASD, if that's all right.
Yes.
ASD, not only does it have like-minded people, they have a quarterly digest, but also they have monthly telephone calls where a person who is a member can hook up to a call and talk with dowsers. And there's usually some sort of it depends on which topic it's about. There's usually somebody they're talking about, might be talking about water dowsing, spirit dowsing, or something like that. And 50 or 100 people can be on the telephone call listening to this one expert and then asking questions. It's a real nice interaction.
What I want to do is the next break, we're going to have to take a break here real quick. I want to get into, recently I've had several calls all of them, you know, it's like when it rains, it pours, about clearing energy and clearing spaces. And I do it a different way. I don't douse. I'm an intuitive. At least that's what I call it. Some people call it psychic. Some people call it a channel. Some people, you know, there's all sorts of names. I just know that it's something I'm able to do. And so when I go in to help clear or in some way, shape, or form, energize and lift the energy of that space, the vibration, the frequency, then I do it in an intuitive fashion. But dowsing is another way to do that. And so I want to talk with you about, for one thing, what I saw this morning in the energy of my space, and then how you help clear or uplift or shift the energy of a space that has entities present and people are complaining about it being haunted. Is that okay?
Perfectly fine.
Okay. All right. So we're coming back. My guest, Tick Coudreau, and the book, you know, if you're just a beginner and getting into this, try the book Spirit Rescue, A Dowser's Ghostly Encounters. Back with more on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest is talking dowsing. That was a kick. Into high gear. Spirit Rescue, A Dowser's Ghostly Encounters. I'm sorry if you weren't ready for that. And the thing about this is when you get into it, there are some basics, just some definitions here, and talking about certain kinds of entities, energy field, whatever when you're in the book talking about death or free will or heaven and hell and that kind of stuff. You go through and you say, okay, this is where we stand on this. This is how we deal with it. And I like that because you kind of give a template for when we're mentioning these terms, how you apply them, because everybody has their own unique definition. And I appreciate that because it gives everybody kind of an even playing field, I think.
Thank you.
What I wanted to get into, every time we go into a space, even though we don't see something, the energy is present. And sometimes you will feel or sense something, but it's there. And this time of year, people have been saying, and I think the energy is amplified during this time of year because all the plants are dormant, because of the other things that are happening. When it's really quiet and wintry, then we can sense, I believe, at least my senses are increased. And it took me a while to figure that out. I just thought, well, maybe it's more active. No. There's a difference because of the other energies that are dormant right now that we can sense some of this metaphysical or in the astral plane, we're more aware. So how do you sense that? Is it different this time of year when we're talking like, you know, dead of winter?
Well, you know, it's funny because of dead of winter, if you think about Joseph Campbell and the hero's journey, you know, the dying of the year and the rebirth. So we're at a death of the year where we're concentrating and focusing on the spirit world, if you're thinking about that sort of thing. And so certainly it makes perfect sense that in this time of year we would feel more attuned with this as we do that. Also, in the summer of the year, we're all busy playing. And in the winter of the year, we're also all inside, and so there are more things happening inside. We feel each other's energies, and the energies become more noticeable to us. That's my take on it anyway.
Well, and see, I want to give you an example. Like, point of fact, this morning, I'm half awake, half asleep, which is always the best time for me to get a heightened sense, and especially this time of year. This is usually the time of year when I'll have some kind of an encounter in my home, and it's been, you know, a few years I've been able to track this. But this morning, I'm just waking up or, you know, opening my eyes. I've been awake for a little while, opening, and there's this red circle orb, kind of, and it's more of a cloud density, and it's right there in the corner of the room, and I see it. Now, the more I focus my eyes, of course, it disappears. I lose the ability to see it, and I'm like, aha, who's checking in on me? Well, then later when I go back home, my husband says, I'm telling him, I said, well, this is what happened this morning. He says, well, it wasn't just me. It had, apparently had checked him out, and he was seeing it and didn't think anything of it. What I notice with that is that that's not a negative energy. And that's what I want to get into. It's just because an energy is present or an entity is there, it isn't always a bad thing. Sometimes it's your own your own peeps, your guardians, your posse checking in and making sure you're okay. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. That, I mean, the that this person or entity or being that was checking out on you was unlikely, just looking, just checking in. Maybe it knows you. Maybe it knows you from another incarnation. Maybe it knows you from having visited your room and been in your dreams or affected your dreams, helped direct you in certain ways or another. So it's not unusual. And no, not all entities are negative. Certainly when your grandmother comes around to visit you after she's passed, that's not negative. That sort of thing always happens when your local God representatives come around to visit you, give you information. They're not negative either. So, that's how the cool thing depends on where it came from. Was it a interdimensional being? Was it part of a UFO and an alien being? These things are all things you can find out. And you know what? You can either not worry about it, or else you can, if you know how to douse, you douse about it.
Okay. Now, let's go back. And this is 2013, and I did have, and the dog saw it too, I did have a UFO that was in the bedroom, and this looked like a physical thing, and it was about the size, again, of a dinner plate, about that size, with red and green lights. And as soon as I thought the dog was barking or growling at the cat, so I just kind of opened my eyes to spy on them, and then I saw in the room, in the corner, by the window, what was there, and it was red and green, and I'm thinking, I've got to remember this, because I... It's like, whoa. And then, of course, I'm focusing, and it figures out I'm focusing, and it goes behind the window outside, and I can see the light through the mini blinds. And I'm thinking, oh, darn it. But I knew it didn't want to be seen, so it was no use in me trying to follow it. It's just that in that moment, it was red and green lights. So it was like Christmas tree. And I wrote it down and just decided, well, I don't know where to go with this, because nobody else I've ever talked to has seen one quite like that. Then I found out somebody over, I think somewhere in Russia, maybe it was Chechnya. Anyway, somebody far away that I would never, associate, I happened to pick that up in a search. But that, again, happened at this time of year. And this time I didn't have that same sensation with it. But when these things happen and you're trying to douse for it, how would I go about trying to eliminate or narrow the focus on what I might be able to figure out in terms of what it is?
Of course, you're dowsing, you use yes or no questions. That's the only, you really can't. Being a psychic, it helps when you can get a visual of the image. Mm-hmm. But if you're a dowser, then sometimes I get visuals sometimes, but if you just yes or no answer. So, probably the first question I would ask is, I obviously ask permission, should I douse about this object that I've just seen, and get a yes or no on that, and, and then the next thing I would say, did I really just see what I saw?
Yeah. Well, the dog saw it first, so I got backup on that. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, so did I just see what I just saw? And then you go from there. All right, now was this something in my three-dimensional space?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Space-time, four-dimensional space-time. Was this something of my four-dimensional space-time? Yes or no? And then you go from there. Well, if it's a yes, then okay, so it's something that is part of our three-dimensional space-time. Was it a physical craft of some sort? Yes, no. Was it a drone? Was it occupied by beings? Yes, no, and all these other things. And if it wasn't a physical thing in our two-dimensional space-time, then we can have some fun. Where's it from?
Yeah.
So we say, is it from a dimension? You'd say, all right, let's call ours the one dimension. And you're talking out loud, you're talking to your group, because they know you, you know them. And say, hey, as long as nobody's watching or listening.
Okay. Hang on. Hold that thought. Yeah, we're going to get into, we have to do a break here. But what I wanted to get back to is how long you've been doing this And the longer you've been doing it, the better you are at asking questions, because that is absolutely essential, to ask questions where you're not already projecting an outcome or directing it in a certain way. You're leaving it open. And I think, let's come back and just, again, with your can I, should I, that kind of immediate statement of intention is important, and you kind of got into that, just glossed over it. So we're going to come back. Okay, Tick Gaudreau is my guest, Dowser, and the book Spirit Rescue, A Dowser's Ghostly Encounters. We're going to get on the other book too as well here in the next break. But these are fantastic tools, abilities, things that we can do to find out more about our reality. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. My guest, Tick Gaudreau, author of Spirit Rescue, A Dowser's Ghostly Encounters. And the other book, which I think if you really wanted to get, you're more interested and you're beyond the 101, The Care and Treatment of Wild Energies. And this talks about the different types of energies, how you can do even some, you know, shielding and help yourself block some of these kinds of energies too. So off to the races. I feel like I'm running a marathon. It's like that's a sports anthem in the background. What did they do? They snuck in there and they stuck that in my... I'm like, okay, fine. All right. So back to the preset, Tick. When you said you automatically ask for can I, should I, let's go back and recap why that's important.
Sure, certainly. What I said is may I, can I, should I. That's a kind of a mantra that dowsers use, or some dowsers use. Well, however, different ways. But it's like a permissions thing. So we get the permission to do the dowsing. May I means do I have permission? Is the cosmos going to let me do it? And the may I is, you know, if you get a no to that, then you're, you know, don't do it. Can I? Do I have the ability? Is it my ability? Am I physically okay? Sometimes if you're tired, you shouldn't really be dowsing about something. Or if you're maybe you're too close to the thing that you're dowsing about. You want to douse about a dead parent or something like that, you're much too close to be dowsing about that. Mm-hmm. And should I is some people don't like the word should. I find that, so what, I'm not worried about the should. But what I find is that the should means, is it appropriate to be doing this? In other words, if you want to find out if your daughter's having an affair, you know, may I? Yeah, you can. Can you? Yeah, okay. Should I? No, you just shouldn't find out about your daughter, you know, if she's an 18-year-old or something, you know, 21-year-old doing all sorts of fun things. It's not in the highest good of all.
That's like ethics.
So may I, can
ethics.
Is it ethically? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the other things that I didn't mention is, and you can always do this when you're dowsing, is I always check how good I'm going to be as a dowser on this. On a scale of 1 to 10, and I usually use a pendulum when I do this kind of work. Scale of 1 to 10, with left being 0, rather, right being 10. What's my overall ability to douse a subject? And I just, you know, if it goes up to an 8 or something like that, I'll tweak it up. Say, can I use spirit guides and guardian angels? Adjust my dowsing so I'm at optimum ability to douse this topic.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some things you do in the beginning. Yep.
Okay. So with that, then we go into when you're going into douse something like what I just talked about. This is a completely foreign element, unknown, whether it's an entity or it's a physical object or it's an interdimensional being. It just appears. And so then I'm going to try and ask the right questions so I don't basically, you know, just project what I think it is as opposed to what it might be.
Right. I guess one of the best ways that you can find out that you're not projecting something is if you throw some curveball questions in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, were there any orange lights or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
But you just quickly, you just go through, you think about what are the things that I would like to know about this object and what can I find out from it, from those people who might know about it. And so, you know, if it's interdimensional, then is it, if we're one dimensional, is it first dimension, second dimension, third dimension, blah, blah, blah. You know, me as an engineer, I'd want to know, does the universe that this thing belongs to correspond to our physical laws, such as gravity and speed of light and that sort of thing? Or are there other ones? You know, you can find out all that information too. So you just go ahead and just keep asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And you could throw, as I said, you could throw oddball questions in just to check yourself to make sure that you're on track.
So I can ask, is it an animal? Is it, you know, that kind of thing? Is this a spirit of something I might, that a deceased, something that was in my house? Is this
certainly,
horses?
You know, I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, hey, see, that's why we're here.
Yep.
It helps to have more people kind of throwing out ideas. Well, that's the thing I wanted to start or get into at this point is when there are entities or presences that are counter or negative or harmful and you need to clear the space, how do you go about doing that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's two ways of doing it. One is if you don't find that they're negative, then you want to talk to them. For instance, not all spirits are negative, as you've mentioned. Some of them are just trapped. Don't forget, they're human beings. They're somehow trapped in an interdimensional place.
Yeah.
That's not our set of life, and it's not whatever thing is, would be beyond whatever you believe in, heaven, the light, whatever. So it's in between. And so sometimes they're very nice, and they're just confused and or afraid. Sometimes they don't know they're alive or don't know their past. Sometimes they know their past, but they're having a hell of a time. And sometimes they're causing trouble.
Yeah.
And the troublesome ones are the ones that people are most worried about, although I think everybody should have a shot at going to the light. Because that's where we evolve. So anyway, going to your question, what do you do with some troublesome spirits? There are two ways to approach it. One, you can try to talk to them if you care to. Now, you know, in the television program, the ghost-busting television programs, they show these people going in the night and the light, the cameras, and something bumps them and they all get all hyper and that sort of thing. That's not really the way to approach this.
No.
The way to approach it is, and I mentioned it in my book, and Don has since passed, the Don Taylor's Chicken School of Dowsing, which is for spirit rescue. And he said, you know, be a little bit of afraid so you don't do dumb things, so you don't put yourself in situations where there's going to be some sort of emotional things involved. Go to a place where it's comfortable, where you're relaxed and calm. Once you've done that, then you can approach these spirits that may or may not be friendly.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get good, you know, you start off with, may I, can I, should I?
Yeah.
May I, can I, should I douse this entity in this room or in this building or in this barn or whatever? Depends on where you go. And if you get a yes, then go ahead. And if you want, then you could also, one of the things I do is it in my highest good to directly talk to this being? And if I get a yes, then I go ahead. If I don't get a yes, then I use a different approach. And there's different approaches, and I have it in my book, and it's in other forms,
mm-hmm.
A program where you basically just ask your group, your local God representatives, to remove this spirit from the area, ask them
to do a divine assist.
Yeah, with a divine assist, sure, with a divine assist, or it depends on what your divinity is. But some sort of assist. You're not doing the work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're not on that same level.
Yeah, all you're doing is you're asking, hey guys, you're gonna get
yeah
this place. This movie theater has beings in there. They're soaking up the emotional energy because there's a thriller movie on there. They're getting all energized, and they're bothering all the people that are in there. Let's see if we can get rid of them.
Okay. Hang on just a minute. We're going to take another break here, but come back and we'll finish with that, because that part of it is important, and I'll give you the way that I can help in terms of sensing some of this stuff. And again, Everybody does a different. It's just because you're listening to us talk about this. This is just to give you some ideas that there might be some ways of doing this. And it isn't always negative. It isn't always somebody who wants to be here or is wanting to cause trouble. Sometimes it's an inadvertent, you're in the same space. Whoops. So back with Spirit Rescue, A Dowser's Ghostly Encounters, Tickadrow on Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Wendy's Coffee House, KCMO Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. All right. Getting back into what happens when you go into a space and it might be dense. There might be some energy there that you don't know when you're going in what you're supposed to do. You've just been invited and asked, can you help? So when I do it and I go in, I ask, why am I here? How may I help? And I kind of get a feel for the space and see what might feel uncomfortable or out of place. And this is, for me, the best way to assess what's going on and where do I go from there. And so the one I did recently, it was nobody does this here and we need help. And I thought, isn't that hilarious? Because I thought there might be some, some big problem and somebody had hung themselves or, big deal. No, it was just a matter that this group of entities was in a place and they really wanted to move on. So my deal then was to give them a space and a way to elevate and amplify their vibration, their frequency, and send them shooting off to wherever they needed to be, and also ask for the assist of bring that energy forward from the other side. All right, now I'm describing this. There are no real words to explain what I do, but later the energy is different. And it feels different, and people who are in the space can notice a difference. So that's why I wanted to say, this works differently for somebody who is an intuitive or, a medium, a psychic, whatever. And then the dowsing part, I think, is much more concrete. You do that with that clearing, cleansing, and also with healing. Does that make sense?
Yes. From my point of view, what I would do is I would douse out how many there are. Or are there more than, it depends on how technical you want to be. Are there more than 10 of you, or are there more than 20 of you? One place in the book, in the Spirit Rescue, I talk about a haunted cemetery, haunted, I use a quote around that, where there's like three or four different groups of people coming in all around the cemetery because it's an energy place.
Yeah.
So anyway, you go into a place and depends on where it is. It could be a monument, it could be a church, it could be a cemetery, and there's a group of people around you in spirit, and you ask for a spokesperson, a spokesghost.
Yes.
And you get that spokesghost, and you talk to the spokesghost, and you see, get everybody around that wants to be included in all this stuff, and then you say, then through various things, or of course, may I, can I, should I, you find out if they're all ready to go, they want to go. And then you invite their spirit guides, guardian angels, and their loved ones who are on the other side to come around and embrace each and every one of them and escort them off to wherever it is. I envision the light. Escort them off to that. And it's a very beautiful thing.
Yes.
When you do this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen it from a clairvoyant point of view. I've seen a little bit of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very beautiful thing when it happens.
Well, you definitely feel the energy shifts. That energy, you feel that infusion.
Absolutely. So that's with a group of spirits. That, again, a cemetery or church or something like that. That's where you look at working with that. Now, some spirits they congregate. I think I talked about a kegger, where they find an abandoned house and they have sitting around having a kegger. basically what happens is that they can move around. They move around on the power of thought, and they can move around on energy lines. And energy lines are part of the, well, there's a bunch of different reasons for them to be, but they are something that are is part of the Earth. It could be a fault line in the Earth's crust. Mm-hmm. It could be a electromagnetic line that comes through. It could be a line of quartz, quartz minerals or something like that. But anyway, it creates a line, and they can move along on it. So one of the things that you want to do before you encounter, oftentimes, before you encounter a spirit, is to take care of that energy, clean it up, and so that people can, so that the spirits aren't encouraged to go there anymore.
Mm-hmm. Not as attractive,
Yeah, it's not so attractive anymore, and they can't get there. So that's one of the things. And with this, then, you can talk to the any nature spirit or spirit that might be involved in that energy, if that's what kind of energy it is. You can work with, you know, with the energy field around your building or whatever it is to change that energy field so that energy line no longer goes through or it's been different. One of the things I like to do is, and this is from a friend, what I like to do is I like to see if I can locate the spirit of the energy field through dowsing. Again, I can actually locate the spirit of the energy field and talk with that spirit directly, talk with that nature spirit, talk with that being, say, hey, look, your energy field is part of nature, I understand that, but it's causing people trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's allowing these spirits to come into this building, or it's causing the people to be sick.
Yes.
Can and will you allow yourself to change your frequency such that people are no longer going to be sick on this in this area while you're in the building? Sometimes they say yes. Sometimes they say no. You have to negotiate with them. Oftentimes, I don't think I've ever had anybody say no, I'm not going to do anything. But oftentimes, you have to do things like negotiate. So, can you change your energy just for the part of the house where people are sleeping?
Or
something like that. So they no longer are sleeping over that energy line that's not beneficial to them. Can you change your energy line so that spirits don't want to aren't encouraged to travel to this building? Just because they're not encouraged, it doesn't mean that they won't, but they're not encouraged. I live next to a 200-year-old cemetery, and it's a big one in Troy, New York, and where Uncle Sam is buried.
Oh my!
And
yeah,
and there's spirits around all the time.
You
because,
bet.
You know they, and it's not that ghosts hang out there because they're. Their energies, that's where the last time they saw their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
Or else it's sort of like a central focal point for them. So they come from miles around to the Uncle Sam Cemetery and just to be part of it.
Yeah.
Partaking.
Yeah, well, okay, now we have to end there. So basically, this is the introduction. And then the next phase is the care and treatment of wild energies. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay, so that's 101, dealing with spirits through dowsing. And also, this stuff, you know, talking about changing the energy so it doesn't have to affect you. That's again, the advanced version. Thank you. Tick Udrow, master of dowsing, and you can connect with him. The best way to contact you?
Best way to contact me is through American Society of Dowsers.
Okay.
And they'll hook me up with you. They'll give an email, and we'll get out together.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, and we'll reconnect again because this is stuff that people are really, I think, fascinated by. And once you get started, you realize you can make some changes and it works. Then it's like, heck yes! Thank you. Thank you for listening. See you later. Wendy's Coffee House.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.